Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome again to the Augusta Road Church. We're so happy to have you today. This morning, I want to take a look at one of the most famous questions in the Bible. This most famous question in the Bible comes in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 9, and it's a question from God to Adam, and it really represents so much. One day, as God is visiting with Adam and Eve, which thought kind of sounds strange to us, but it was really quite familiar to Adam and Eve back in the beginning. As a matter of fact, what Adam and Eve do is out of the ordinary. The normal course of things was for Adam and Eve to live in this wonderful garden and for God to be there visiting, talking. And on this occasion, though, Adam and Eve hide from God. And so God, as he is visiting Adam and Eve, and we presume expecting to have their normal interaction, friendly, loving interaction, this conversation that would regularly, we are led to believe, happen between them, now it's not happening. As Adam and Eve see God approach, they do something that they've never done before. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible lets us know that, Genesis 3, verse 8 is where the Bible lets us know that they hide from God. And that leads us to Genesis 3, verse 9, where God asks this very famous question in the Bible, "Where are you? Where are you?" This is not the way it's normally gone between Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had typically, we are led to believe, been expecting God's visit and waiting for God and receive God, and they had a relationship with him that our minds can only kind of imagine. But on this occasion, they hide from God because everything's different on this occasion, and everything's different because of their sin. So God says, "Where are you?" A couple of things to keep in mind is God is an all-knowing being. He knows very well where Adam and Eve are. He's not asking this question because he doesn't know the answer to the question. He's asking this question to get Adam and Eve to ponder it. Where are you? Where are you? Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned against God. That's why they were hiding. And God is driving home that predicament to them by asking this very probative question, "Where are you?" This morning, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to ask you that same famous question. I'm not God, you're not Adam and Eve, but that same question can come off the pages of the Bible to us. Where are you this morning? And this morning also what I want to do, as we cover a lot of ground in our Old Testaments, is I want to let Jonah give us the answers to that question. Jonah, the Old Testament minor prophet book of Jonah. What an adventure it is. As we see Jonah chapter 1 kind of come alive in our minds, the Lord tells his prophet servant Jonah, "You go to Nineveh." I'm in Jonah now, chapter 1, verse 2. "You go to Nineveh, that great city." Nineveh was really, really big. God's not calling it great because it was worthy of praise. God is calling it great because it was humongous. And Jonah is sent there to preach against it. Nineveh was a big city, but a very wicked city, evil, and God wanted them to change their ways. And God knew, this is a lesson to us, a side lesson to us, God knew that his word could change lives, even lives that are so set in their ways. The people in Nineveh were extremely set in their ways, but God knew they could change, and they could only change through the power of his word. So God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to them. Only Jonah didn't want to go. And as you see here on this quick flash of a map on the screen, You don't have to plot the latitude and longitude of these points here to get the general picture that Jonah is running away from God. God wants Jonah to go that way. Jonah decides he's going to go this way instead. Jonah is running away from God. Our question is, where are you? Jonah tells us you might be running away from God. I don't know. You might be running away from God. There are a lot of people out there in the world who are running away from God. The Bible has never been more available than it is now. I'm comfortable with that statement. The Bible has never been more available than it is now. You could get one on sale. Check this out. You can get a Bible on sale at the dollar store. You can download on your smartphone a free Bible app. And if you don't want to clog up your phone with that sort of stuff, some folks don't, I get it, you can go to a website and read the Bible for free. And yet, we have so many people who are tuning out God more than ever before. They don't know God. They don't want to hear God's word. And they quickly get right past the Bible and go and do other things with their lives. Jonah is running away from God in Jonah chapter 1, and kind of a literal sense of that term. He's going one direction when God says go the other direction. You're not running away from God like that this morning, I know, because God hasn't talked to you and told you to go somewhere that you're running away from, but maybe, just maybe, you're running away from God by keeping that Bible closed, by keeping that heart closed. You know, you can open the Bible and read from it all you want. God says, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. But if you say, nah, if you close your heart to that, you're running away from God. Just as much as if you close the Bible and hide it. You're closing your heart, not the Bible, but the net effect is the same. The Bible talks to you about your marriage. The Bible talks to you about your family. The Bible talks to us about how we worship, how we structure and organize the church, how we live for God, the beliefs that we need to hold dear and hold fast to. The Bible talks to us about these things, and yet, now more than ever, folks are closing the Bible or closing their hearts, same, same, and they're doing what Jonah does here. They're going in a direction that seems better to them. Jonah was on a ship heading to modern-day Spain, we believe. And as he was running away from God, I want you to know something. I want you to know this the next time you think you're going to get away from God, it won't work. Jonah is working so feverishly to get away from God, and guess what? God knows where Jonah is every mile of the way, God knows. And God finds Jonah and sends to Jonah's ship a great storm. It makes everyone afraid. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. Jonah chapter 1, verse 6. The shipmaster has left his perch from captaining the ship, and he's coming, and he's asking for everyone, pray. Somebody's got to do something. This ship is going down. And there he finds Jonah sleeping. And then they ask Jonah. Jonah is unfamiliar to them. They ask Jonah, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here? And Jonah has to answer these questions. Jonah chapter 1, verse 9, can you imagine the shame that washes over Jonah as he tells these people, actually, I'm a preacher. A preacher? Why aren't you praying to your God? Well, Jonah has to sheepishly confess, I'm running away from my God. I'm running away from God. And it's not working. Jonah then, in a moment of love and kindness, suggests that they throw him overboard to appease God. To their credit, they don't want to do this. It seems murderous. I mean, Jonah has, they're going to die on the ship. Jonah is especially going to die if they throw him off the ship. I mean, this seems very, very certain that his death would be the outcome of this. But when there's nothing else they can do, they cave and they give in to Jonah's odd request, and they throw him overboard, and just like that, the storm stops. And the people aboard that ship know that Jonah's God, quote-unquote Jonah's God, is the God. Their story stops here in Jonah chapter 1, but I've long wondered how this event impacted them. I wonder if we're going to see any of those people on that ship up in heaven with us one day. I wonder if any of these polytheistic ship travelers here, I wonder if any of them became true believers partially as a result of these events here in Jonah chapter 1. Don't know. Nobody does. But what we see in Jonah chapter 1 is a man who is running at breakneck speed away from God. This morning, I hope you're not running away from God. I hope you're not moving away from God in any speed. But I want to warn you that possibility is real. You might be running away from God. It's very possible to do so. In Jonah chapter 2, we see a whole different Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 comes into focus in our Bibles, and Jonah is inside of the fish's belly. And it's here that Jonah gets religion, like so many people in bad situations do, you know. And here in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is running to God. Jonah chapter 1 is a study of Jonah's efforts to try to get away from God. Jonah chapter 2 is a study of Jonah's efforts to try to get his way back to God. He's praying, something that I reckon he hadn't done in quite some time. He certainly wasn't doing it with everybody else aboard the ship in chapter 1, but here he finds himself hopeless and in need of God's omnipotence, and he prays to God in his affliction. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. And guess what? Guess what? God heard him. Of course God heard him. God hears all of us when we go to him. God hears his children here in this New Testament age in a very, very special way. But God is an all-knowing God. If you want to please God, believe me, he knows about that. Maybe you find yourself in a family where nobody else around you wants to please God. If you want to please God, I've got good news for you this morning. He knows. Maybe you find yourself in a neighborhood or an apartment complex where nobody wants to please God. I've got news for you this morning. If you want to please God, he knows about it. And he's going to help as God helps Jonah here. God is helping Jonah to find his way back to him. The underreported truth about God is that he wants us to be saved. A lot of people have this monstrous picture of God in their minds. This was popularized centuries ago in a revival-type thinking. God, in so many people's minds, is an angry God. And he just is hiding behind the corners, waiting, watching, hoping he can snatch you up and wad you up and throw you down to hell. That's not a true picture of God. A true picture of God is he wants us to be saved. He wants us to come to Him. And He will make it possible for us to come to Him. I chose the word possible, not the word easy, because it may not be easy for you to come to God. Some people, in order for them to come to God, they have to change just about everything about their lives. Some people may have to quit some things they've been doing for a long time to come to God. Some people may have to break off some things that they've been doing for a long time in order to come to God. But it's possible for every single one of us to come to God. As Jonah is doing here in a beautiful chapter of Scripture, Jonah is remembering and reflecting on God, and he's praying to God for a second chance. He's coming back home to God. Where are you this morning? Maybe you're like Jonah in chapter 2, ready to come back to the Lord. Having wasted and possibly squandered a lot of the time and talents that God has given you, maybe you're ready to put all that behind you, like Jonah is. Jonah, the Jonah in Jonah chapter 2 is different from the Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. In chapter 1, he's using all his effort and energy to get away from God. In chapter 2, it's right the opposite. He's using all of his effort and energy to come back to God. Which one best describes you this morning? Leaving God, drifting away from God. Maybe, as I said in chapter 1, you're not running with great speed away from God. Maybe you're just kind of inching away from God. I hope you are the Jonah of Jonah chapter 2, coming to God. But that's not even my biggest hope this morning, because my biggest hope this morning is that you are the Jonah of Jonah chapter 3, who is with God. Jonah chapter 1, the man is trying to get away from God. Jonah chapter 2, he is in the process of coming back to God, and it's beautiful to see. In chapter 3, we have what I think is the highlight of the book. As a preacher, I may be a little partial to this chapter. Jonah is now hand in hand with God. Jonah chapter 3 comes to our minds, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." I love this. Can't help but love it and point it out every time I see it. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but it's worth a repeat if you have. God is a God of the second chance. Jonah needed a second chance. Boy, did he ever need a second chance. And Jonah is given a second chance. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, and guess what it says? Same thing it said the first time. Because God is not going to change just because you want Him to. You can throw the biggest fit you want, and Jonah throws a pretty big fit in Jonah chapter 1, doesn't he? He hollers, he screams, he stomps to Joppa, puts his money down, pays the way for the boat to take him to Spain, where he's going to go and just sulk and pout and get away from God and go to his room and slam the door and throw the biggest tantrum you can imagine. You can do all of that. And when you've wasted all that energy, you can come back to God, and He'll have the same thing for you He had before. Now Jonah is doing the same thing God told him to do in chapter 1. Only now he is tired. he has less money because he spent money to get on that ship to go to Spain. So here is Jonah, tired, exhausted, having been vomited out by a great fish. He has less money in his pocket, and he's still got to do what God told him to do. Because, well, God's not going to change. God is not going to change So Jonah has to get on board with God, and he does that in chapter 3. Where are you this morning? The Jonah we see in Jonah chapter 3 is with God step for step. He's going to Nineveh just like God told him, not once but twice. Nineveh is a big city, 3 days' journey from sign to sign. You come to Nineveh, it'll take you 3 days in their method of travel from entrance to exit. Jonah goes in that city about a day's journey, which would roughly place him approximately at the center of the city, and he preaches a sermon. 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And to Jonah's surprise, to a lot of people's surprise who know anything about Nineveh and the Assyrians, the people believed God, Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, the greatest of them even to the least of them. They changed their ways. Jesus, later in Jesus' life, talks about Jonah and these men of Nineveh, and Jesus calls what they're doing right here in Jonah chapter 3, Jesus calls it repentance. They're changing. God was not happy with how they were living before. And so these men of Nineveh, these people of Nineveh, they wise up. And they decide, okay, if God's not happy, we need to change. Let that lesson sink in. These people decide, if God is not happy, we need to change. That's the same way it is now. If God's not happy with your life, I want to say to you with all love and respect, you need to change. If God's not happy with your life, you need to change. If God's not happy with your actions, you need to change. If God's not happy with your words, you need to change. If God's not happy with your thoughts, you need to change. If God's not happy with how you spend your alone private time, you need to change. If God's not happy, you need to change, because God's word is unchangeable. God's word, Jesus says, John 12:48. I'll get it right in a second. John 12:48. Jesus says, the word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. The same word that Jesus preached, John 12:48, will judge us in the last day. Same, 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 same. You heard Jesus say there. So if your life does not please God now, there's zero chance it'll please God when Jesus comes back. Because God's word is going to be the same then as it is now. So if you need to change your life, that's exactly what needs to happen. You change your life. And we can help. We would love to help. Where are you? Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is running away from God. Jonah chapter 2, he's coming back to God. Jonah chapter 3, he is with God, and it's beautiful. And I wish, frankly, I say this with all due respect to the Bible, I wish the story could end right here. The nice, happy ending of Jonah chapter 3. But Jonah chapter 4 is here. And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, we have this. This displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Oh, man. Jonah just preached the gospel, the good news, I'm using that word in that sense, to the whole town of Nineveh, and they repented. Everybody responded to the invitation. They all obeyed God and got saved, and Jonah is mad about it. Not just mad, very mad about it. And I'll quickly summarize why Jonah's mad. You need to read Jonah chapter 4 for yourself. It's beautiful. the whole book, four-chapter book of Jonah. You could read it this afternoon. I suggest you do that. In Jonah chapter 4, we see this. Jonah is outthinking God, kind of, sort of. It's really not possible to outthink God, but Jonah is trying to. You see, Jonah doesn't want. Here's the sad thing about the book of Jonah. Jonah doesn't want these people to be saved. And so, as he witnesses God's glory and God's grace and his mercy and his salvation, as Jonah sees that, he doesn't like it. Can you imagine? Jonah thinks that he knows better than God. The Jonah in Jonah chapter 4 thinks that he knows better than God. He's way out running ahead of God, trying to tell God what to do. Remember our question today, where are you? Are you this morning trying to outthink God? Do you think you know better than God? I've had some people tell me, oh, preacher, technically, there's not anything wrong with what I'm doing, technically. The guy suddenly has become a Bible scholar, and he knows the mind of God so thoroughly that he's able to tell me how his actions, which appear wrong, really aren't that wrong, because technically, he's got it all figured out. Well, what's that guy doing? Well, I think he's getting a little bit ahead of God. And there are a lot of folks who will take what they want and try to cram it in the Bible. You know, a lot of churches love instrumental music, and they will take that and say, well, here's the word music right here. We're told we can make music, and we're doing it this way. That gets ahead of God. That tries to outthink God. None of us can successfully outthink God. He's smarter than all of us, smarter than all of us put together. The best thing, I say this as a proud American, thankful for my independence and thankful for the sovereignty of this nation, I say this as a proud American, the best thing for us to do is just obey God. It's really that easy. King Saul was a man who tried to outthink God. God told Saul something to do, and he didn't want to do it. Saul wanted to change it a little bit, and he did change it a little bit, but you know what happened when he changed it a little bit? It stopped being the thing that God told him to do. Naaman is a man who was told by God to go and do something so simple. But the problem with Naaman, if you know his story from the Bible, the problem with that man is he thought about it too much. He talked himself out of it. He wanted it to change. The only problem is, if it would have changed, it wouldn't be what God told him to do. This morning, God is telling each of us in here and out there to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to be saved. And this morning, there are no shortage of people looking at each of those steps and saying, but I don't see why I got to do that. I don't see why I have to change my life this way. I don't see why I have to be baptized. Y'all down there are preaching work salvation. No, we're not. We're saying, here's what God told you to do. Now, are you going to do it or not? The choice is yours. We can't make it for you. But we want to remind you about Jonah and caution you against running away from God, moving away from God at any speed, or overthinking what God said. God has told us what He wants. Are you going to do it today? Where are you? Where are you? You can be with God if you obey His way while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.